We may remember a lesson by Brother Alan Springer, and his title was Why I Am a Bible Student. His reason was given as a list of doctrinal teachings that are unique and special to Bible students, that harmonize the scriptures and present a framework of Christian salvation that is all-encompassing in scope, just, loving, logical, and well supported by the Word of God. Notable in this lesson was the very first doctrinal item that was listed. That was the character of God. And as we consider this, it becomes clear that indeed this is truly a foremost and fundamental concept. For God, the creator of all, designed and executes his marvelous plan of salvation for all. His character is reflected by all aspects of his divine plan of the ages. For this lesson today, we also hope to highlight the character of God. We often think of God's character by four key attributes: justice, love, power, and wisdom. Yet interlacing and embracing all these is another amazing aspect of Jehovah's character that may escape our full realization of its profound nature. The reason we may miss the subtle depth of this important feature of God's character is that English and other languages have no single word or even a short phrase to fully convey it. However, it is revealed to us in the Old Testament through one single Hebrew word. That word is chesed. Chesed is Strong's number 2617. And in Strong's, it's spelled C-H-E-S-E-D. Pronounce chesed, chesed, with the emphasis on the first syllable. That first syllable is spelled K-H-E-H. And it's a deep guttural sound. In other writings, we found it spelled H-E-S-E-D. In my notes, in my personal notes, I keep it simple and phonetic. I spell it K-E-S-E-D. And because that's how it sounds to me, chesed. Chesed refers more to a concept of Jehovah's character than just naming an attribute. Chesed might be thought of more as a verb than a noun, in that it involves actions and interactions that draw in many different character qualities. In that sense, chesed refers to what God does as much as what God is. For these reasons, as we read different scriptures that speak of chesed, rather than reading the English translations, we'll leave the Hebrew word chesed untranslated. By doing so, hopefully the word chesed can become a key to open the door to the world of God's own heart, the world of loving our neighbor, and perhaps even of loving our enemies. So Psalms 36:7 is our title text, and it would read, "How excellent is thy chesed, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Or Micah 6:8 would read, He has told you, old man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love chesed, and to walk humbly with your God. Or Micah 7:18 would read, Who is a God like unto thee, that retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in chesed? Pastor Russell, drawing on this verse, captures the uniqueness of this concept of chesed, of mercy, conveyed only by the Hebrew word chesed. This is found in Songs in the Night for July 30th, and that Songs in the Night was a real inspiration for this lesson. The comment in the Songs in the Night is taken from reprint 4892. And I'm quoting from that Songs in the Night. The heathen gods are all vengeful. The God of the Bible alone lays claim to being a God of love, whose mercy, chesed, endureth forever, as one of the Psalms repeats again and again. And that would be Psalms 136. Hopefully texts like these will bring enhanced significance to our spiritual lives as we gain greater appreciation of the concepts behind the word chesed. So for our lesson today, our objectives are, first, to consider the context of several scriptures where the word chesed is used in order to gain insight into the remarkable depth and breadth of the loving character of our Heavenly Father. And secondly, as a result of this insight, the realization that as we are recipients of God's chesed, that we should in turn feel the responsive, the reciprocal motivation to extend chesed to others. The first section of our talk I've titled The First Chesed. We would like to turn now to the first time the word chesed is found in the Old Testament, and that is in Genesis 19:19. At the time Lot speaks these words, the two angels have rescued Lot and his wife and his two daughters and led them away from Sodom, which is soon to be utterly destroyed. In verse 17 of Genesis 19, the angels are urgently instructing Lot to escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. In verse 18 through 20, Lot requests a concession. Note that these angels speak for Jehovah, and Jehovah is speaking through them. So we can envision Lot conversing directly with the Heavenly Father. In verse 18, Lot says, And Lot says unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Then in verse 19, he recognizes and honors the divine chesed that has been granted him, and knowing he is a God of chesed, requests an additional favor with these words. Behold now, thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy chesed, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me and I die. Lot requests refuge instead in a small city that is not nearly as far as the mountains. This request is granted as well to Lot, even though he had done nothing to earn this extended favor. Apparently, this city, now named Zoar, was also slated for destruction, but was spared for Lot's sake. In verse 30, Lot does eventually go on to dwell in the mountains. What we learn about Chesed in this context is that it refers to an exceptional favor from God. Something that has not been earned, but is graciously given. It is as much about the nature of the action as itself, as it is the kindness and mercy behind the act. One author offered his own working definition as, when somebody from whom we deserve nothing gives us everything. We might ask at this point, how did Lot become aware of God's chesed? Surely, Lot, likely through Uncle Abraham, heard the stories of Lot's past involvement in human affairs. God's past involvement in human affairs, even as far back as creation. Perhaps, just perhaps, Lot was moved by the account of the Heavenly Father's response to Adam and Eve, having believed and trusted the serpent over him. The account is found in Genesis 3, 7 through 21. God was firm in his justice and recounted in no uncertain terms the harsh nature of their existence henceforth as a result of their disobedience. But then God performs an act of chesed, an act of care and kindness that shows his loving concern for their welfare. From an innocent animal, he made coats of skins and clothed them. This was not earned, but this act of kindness will extend well beyond Adam and Eve's immediate need for covering. It will be echoed by the stain of Abraham's faithful thrust and the innocent animal caught in the nearby thicket. Genesis 22, 9 through 13. And again, every year, on the Day of Atonement, by the sacrifice of the innocent bullock, Leviticus 16, 11. And now, dear brethren, we are comforted and warmed by the covering of our guilt, by the ultimate act of chesed, the sacrifice of our Heavenly Father's only begotten innocent Son. Romans 5, 8, 9, and 10. For our next section, I've titled it a little bit tongue-in-cheek, Let Me Introduce Myself. We would like next to consider how Jehovah himself uses chesed to declare himself to Moses in the 34th chapter of Exodus. But first, let us review the context of this account. In chapter 32, Moses comes down from the mountain with tablets of the law freshly engraved by the finger of God himself. These were the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. Earlier in chapter 20 of Exodus, Moses had articulated these commandments unto the people. It is noteworthy that the chesed of God is mentioned in the second of these 10. That's the one about not forming and worshiping idols of any kind. That commandment is found in verses 3-6 of Exodus 20. After declaring that commandment and declaring that he is a jealous God, he concludes this commandment in Exodus 20 verse 6. And showing chesed unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. But what does Moses find as he reaches the base of Mount Sinai? That very commandment has been blatantly violated. The people are singing and dancing around two golden calves that none other than his very own brother has formed for them. After smashing those precious tablets, Moses, in his very justified indignation, had those idols reduced to powder. That powder was tossed into the water, and the people were made to drink of that water, to drink the dregs of their folly. Moses also eliminated the most rebellious of the leaders of the people. All this is found in Exodus 32:19-20. What the people do not recognize is how much Moses, as their mediator, loves them with a chesed kind of love, despite their atrocious disobedience. For Moses had previously, before coming down from the mountain, been made aware of this particular rebellion by God. God who informed him while he was still up in the mountain. And at that time, Moses was also told, and I think this was a test upon Moses' love for the people. God told him that he would be justified in consuming the whole lot of them and starting over again fresh with Moses. But Moses pleads his case for the people he loves. And as a result, God relents. God was surely pleased by Moses' response. And surely God was gratified that he had chosen such a devoted, loving mediator for his people. For lo, to come would be another one like Moses. Deuteronomy 18:15. The intensity of Moses' chesed love for the people of Israel is revealed in verse 32. Of Exodus 32. And I'll read this from the English Standard Version. But now, if you will forgive their sin, this is Moses pleading, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written. Pastor Russell nicely captures the essence of this verse in reprint 40:23. And quoting from that reprint. As Moses here staked his own eternal existence for the benefit of the people, so the life of Christ was staked for the race whom he died to believe, to redeem, whom he represents and will continue to represent as its mediator, until he shall, under the terms of the new covenant, grant to Israel and to all mankind restitution and full opportunity to return to the divine favor. End of quote. Now we would like to continue on to the 34th chapter, where Moses declares himself, where Jehovah declares himself to Moses and see how kesed is prominently emphasized. Here, Moses in 33:18, Exodus 33:18, requested to be shown God's glory. And we all remember how God shields Moses in the cleft of a rock and passes by, allowing him to see only his back. And I was thinking during Brother Allen's talk, as he comes down from the mountain this time, he shines. The words we want to focus on are found in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. I'll read these two verses from the American Standard Version. And Jehovah passed by before him and proclaimed, Jehovah, Jehovah, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in chesed and truth, keeping chesed for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. As this is Jehovah God, the creator of the universe, declaring himself to Moses, it would be worthy to consider these qualities, these divine aspects of who God personally tells us he is. First, we have Jehovah, Jehovah, a God. This is the only time in Scripture that God repeats his personal, unpronounceable, unspeakable name twice. Back at the burning bush in Exodus 3:14, Moses was given a possible definition of this special name. I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. Scholars have summarized this by stating that God is being itself. We might add that God is the essence of being, the master of being, the source of all being. This brings to mind two texts that remind us that our personal being came from God. It was a gift of God. We should use that precious gift to learn of God, to appreciate and endeavor to ingrain his will and his character, and to sing his praises. Psalms 104:33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And a very similar psalm, Psalms 146, verse 2. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. And to know that chesed is key to our songs of praise, we'll add Psalms 89, verse 1. Psalms 89, 1. I will sing of the chesed of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. There's, in this phrase, Jehovah, Jehovah is followed by a God. That's the word El, which refers to the strength of Jehovah, his mightiness. The first of these attributes that follow is merciful, also can be translated compassionate. It is from the Hebrew rakum, which is linked to the word rakem or womb. Thus, it's a reference to the love elicited by a helpless baby from a mother or father. See Psalms 103:12-14. Thus Jehovah in his role as a father, our heavenly father. Next is gracious. Of this, a Jewish commentary, the Chumash, that is spelled C-H-U-M-A-S-H, the Chumash states, God is gracious even to the undeserving. This is from Hebrews number 25:87. Chanun. According to Strong's, this is closely related to the Hebrew word 26:03, Kanan, which generally means to favor, to grant graciously, to show mercy. The word is found in many texts, but we have chosen Psalms 51:1, as it also contains the word chesed. The words of David in Psalms 51:1, have mercy, Shanan, upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, Chesed, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Here, David is imploring the Heavenly Father to graciously, mercifully favor him by cleansing him of his transgression with Bathsheba. Note how David's faith draws on his trust in Jehovah's chesed. The next attribute that follows is slow to anger. This attribute has already been shown with Adam and Eve in the garden and with Moses in the mountain during the golden calf incident. The Chumash states, with both the righteous and the wicked, God is patient. Instead of punishing sinners immediately, he gives them time to repent, to reflect, to improve. This is reflected in the New Testament by the apostle in 1 Corinthians 13:5. And from the New International Version, key phrase here is, it, agape love, is not easily angered. This is intertwined with the first two traits. A merciful and gracious person is never angers easily. Next in sequence comes the phrase, abundant in chesed and truth. God's chesed is plenteous or rich in both quality and quantity. The word truth is often over 50 times associated with chesed. It can be translated as certain, reliable, dependable, and trustworthy. God never reneges on his chesed. This divine quality is truly reflected by Jesus' only begotten Son. God. By Jesus, God's only begotten Son. The Apostle John, in John 1:14, which Brother Alan read in his lesson, when he states that the Logos, Jesus as a perfect human, was full of grace and truth. It may lie with outside the intended scope of the Hebrew meaning here for the word truth. However, truth can be associated with doctrinal truths, the truth of the divine plan of the ages, such truths as the ransom, the two salvations, the nature of Jesus, our Lord's parousia, the Abrahamic covenants, chronology, even the well shaft in the pyramid. The list can go on. Certainly these vital understandings revealed by the appointed messenger upon Christ's return are marvelous reflections of God's chesed. These doctrinal truths as well are certain, reliable, dependable, and trustworthy. Next, going on to verse 7 in chapter 34, chesed is declared a second time. So it must be an important feature of God's character. Here, God adds, keeping chesed for thousands. I like the way the Chumash translates this phrase. Preserver of chesed for thousands of generations. The implication here is that God is faithfully maintaining or keeping a guard over his chesed. God's chesed has been challenged. It's been challenged by the Antichrist, by the confusing errors of Babylon. More on this later. Just rest assured that God's chesed will prevail. Next, God declares, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. The word forgive here means to lift or carry away. Our understanding of the ransom directs our thoughts to how God accomplishes this through the sacrifice of Jesus, the ultimate act of chesed. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, if we stop here, it might seem like God is someone we could perpetually take advantage of. However, God goes on to declare that he will by no means clear the guilty. So we find that perfect divine chesed is always in balance with perfect divine justice. One never violates the other. We often find that justice, the word justice, like the word truth, is often associated with chesed. Psalms 101, verse 1, from the English Standard Version. I will sing of chesed and justice. To you, O Lord, will I make music. Jeremiah 9:24. Again, these verses will be from English Standard Version. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices chesed, justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And also in Hosea 12, verse 6, and this is speaking to the nation of Israel. So you, by the help of your God, return. Hold fast to chesed and justice, and wait continually for your God. Just one more familiar verse to close this section about the balance between chesed and justice. It's from the New Testament and articulates this balance and harmony between chesed and justice. It is Romans 3:25, and I'm reading this from the Weymouth translation. He it is who God put forward as a mercy seat, rendered efficacious through faith in his blood, in order to demonstrate his righteousness, because of the passing over in God's forbearance of sins previously committed. Next, the next section I've titled Reciprocity. Don't you love that word? Reciprocity. Chesed has been referred to as covenant love. With chesed, there is mutual expectation, unspoken mutuality. The recipient of chesed should naturally demonstrate chesed in return. This is not a legal expectation. There are no covenant sanctions tied to it. It is an expectation based on love's hope. 1 Corinthians 13:7. The special bond between David and Jonathan exemplifies chesed's quality of reciprocity. As we read in the following text, note they refer to their relationship with each other as a covenant of Jehovah based on the chesed of Jehovah. And note the reciprocity, their mutual expectations. David is speaking to Jonathan in 1 Samuel 20:8, and this is from the English Standard Version. Therefore, deal with chesed with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of Jehovah with you. But if there is guilt in me, kill me yourself, for why should you bring me to your father? Jonathan then replies to David in 1 Samuel 20:13-15. May Jehovah be with you as he has been with my father. If I am still alive, show me the chesed of Jehovah that I may not die. And do not cut off your chesed from my house forever. And David does indeed honor his covenant of chesed after Jonathan has died in 2 Samuel 9. The hope of reciprocity is born out of relationship and motivated by gratitude. We extend mercy and offer forgiveness as followers of Jesus. That is because we have been the recipients of his mercy and respond prompted by our gratitude for him. Reciprocity is the indication that you have ingrained the essence of chesed. The teaching of Jesus, especially in Matthew, exemplifies this concept of reciprocity. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Matthew 6:12. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your Father your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And Matthew 18:33, should not you have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you. In conclusion, dear brethren, we'd like to relate a personal cassette story. Recently, we were having a study in the fourth volume. We were in study one, The Day of Vengeance. In that study, Pastor Russell, in some detail, considers Isaiah 63 verses 1 through 6. These verses picture our Lord Jesus as a returning conqueror at the end of the gospel age. We will read through these verses, skipping through a bit, to capture the tone of this context. Isaiah 63, verses 1 to 6. Who is that cometh from Eden? Who is this that cometh from Eden? Traveling in the greatness of his strength, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? I have treadeth the winepress alone. I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drink in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Heavy sigh. So much anger, fury, blood, and vengeance. But then, in the following verse, verse 7 of Isaiah 63, this came to our attention, lifting our hearts to the glorious vistas of God's chesed. Verse 7, Isaiah 63. I will mention the chesed of Jehovah and the praises of Jehovah according to all that Jehovah has bestowed on us. The great goodness towards the multitude according to the multitude of his chesed. Yes, God's wonderful chesed has been occluded, been covered, been darkened during most of the gospel age by doctrinal errors sown by the adversary. The philosophy of the immortality of the soul leading to the God-dishonoring teaching of eternal torment. Also, an incomprehensible concept of incarnation that obscures the simple truth that Jesus was a perfect, innocent human being, thus casting a veil over the clear, scripturally presented teaching of the ransom, the ultimate act of chesed by Jehovah. But here in this verse, we are reminded that God's abundant chesed will indeed prevail. For he assures us, he maintains, he guards his chesed. Surely those poor souls that supported those systems out of fear, when the light, reason, and reassurance of God's chesed is revealed, they will abandon those oppressive systems, leaving them empty and exposed. Many are the different English translations, dear brethren, of the Hebrew word chesed. Here are just some of the most frequently used by the most common biblical translations. Mercy, love, loving kindness, steadfast love, unfailing love, faithful love, covenant of love. But these, even when all assembled together, do not capture the full scope of divine chesed. We hope this consideration of chesed will inspire you to look for chesed in the scriptures. You have many to choose from. It's found in over 240 texts in the Old Testament. Watch for it and allow its loving influence to draw you ever closer to our Heavenly Father and to feel His compassion in your life and to reciprocate that chesed in praise and acts of loving kindness. We would like to close with one such text. It's Psalms 31, verse 21, reading from the English Standard Version. Blessed be Jehovah, for He has wondrously shown His chesed to me when I was in a besieged city. This verse was eloquently paraphrased by a dear sister. He is able to demonstrate His wonderful chesed covenant love and affection in the midst of being or feeling surrounded and hemmed in by our experiences. May each of you likewise experience the marvelous chesed of our Father in heaven. And may all richly deserved praise, glory, and honor go to our Heavenly Father, for He is indeed most worthy.